This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Patrick McFadden from DataStax.
Hi, Ian. How are you? I run developer relations at DataStax. This is an organization that's really focused around making the best things for developers in our company. We are advocates for not only developers, but we create educational materials, and we work with our engineering teams to make sure that what we're building is being used properly. And also, we get a feedback to the engineering team. This is really cool. It's one of those jobs you can't believe is a job because you get to do some really neat things and meet great people all the time. This is what I've been doing for a long time. Really, my background is with Apache Cassandra. I've been working with the project for about 10 years. Larger backstory, and that's why I'm at DataStax, is because years ago, co-founder Jonathan Ellis was the Apache project chair, and he's like, hey, let's go make this thing a real database. I'm like, let's go.
Earlier this year, you announced Database as a Service with Google. You're announcing now Cassandra as a Service. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
We're talking about cloud, cloud, cloud. And if you're not in a cloud, then you don't exist anymore. So all of these are really the same thing in different consumption formats. Cassandra has always been a database that's fantastic for lots of reasons, but the joke has always been, everybody loves to say it because it makes people nervous and laugh, but your first 2 weeks with Cassandra is your worst because it is so hard to work with a distributed system. It's not because the system is broken or user hostile. It's just a whole nother paradigm. When you're not dealing with a single server with one configuration file, no, it's like herding cats sometimes. And so people don't really get it right away. But eventually, once you get it, it's an amazing database. We know that to shortcut that, thank God this cloud thing came along. Wow, just in the nick of time, we made our database useful. We're embracing all of the different forms of cloud that we can to make Cassandra available to the larger masses. We don't want to be a niche database, and we aren't. It's a very popular database, but we want to make it available to any developer anywhere building something cool. This partnership you mentioned with Google, just one way to get there, and that was a really interesting one because they were really embracing the open sourcingness of our company, which is very different.
I get the want to make it run everywhere, but if I'm honest, over the last 30 years, I've lost count of the number of database vendors who've told me that their database will run on any platform, anytime, anywhere, do anything you want it to do. And very few of them actually deliver. So what are you doing to actually deliver?
Yeah, there was a SQL Anywhere. Remember that? It was Sybase SQL Anywhere. Wait a minute. But those are all still single systems. My background is in distributed systems, and we used to build these massive... Remember Corba a long time ago? That was when I was a C++ programmer, and I'm recovering now. Thanks. That was when we were distributing the application layer, but we weren't distributing the database. The SQL Anywhere, a lot of those, sure, they had read replicas and things like that, but it really wasn't a distributed database. We had distributed above it. So what are we doing different? Well, Cassandra was built from the ground up, from the Dynamo paper. And the Dynamo paper was a very different way of thinking about databases. It was from Amazon. It's not DynamoDB. A lot of people think, oh, DynamoDB came from the Dynamo paper. Not really. The Dynamo paper was describing how do you build a system that is truly distributed, mm-hmm. that has high scaling, so you can scale it independently. It has geo-replication, and the consistency of the data is known. It's consistent in a way that is easily measured and has some computer science behind it. It's not just faith. Mm-hmm. That paper described all of those things really well. Now, there was a few databases that came out. There was React that was built on that paper, another one called Voldemort, which was at LinkedIn for a while. There was several smaller ones. There's one called Dynamite, which I'm sure if you did a Google search, you'd find. There was the other one that was Cassandra. And Cassandra is the one that has seemed to, from what I can tell, is the one that's made it out of that.
But the big part of that is to run anywhere. If I look at Microsoft, at Amazon, at Google, they're all talking about their own cloud databases. They're all talking about making those available on anybody's platform everywhere else. How do you compete with those? They have such significant market value and ability to push that being effectively the fourth wheel in this doesn't give you a lot of room to maneuver.
It doesn't in some respects. Sure, those are juggernauts. Trying to go up against Microsoft. Look at the wake behind Microsoft of all the companies that have gone up Netscape. Hello. But cloud is an equalizer in a lot of ways. There's plenty of showings out there that will prove the fact that you don't have to just be the cloud company to win. There are companies doing a really good job of making sure that they work with the cloud companies. A good analogy is like electricity, where you have utilities that create electricity, but I don't buy a fan from General Electric. I guess I could have at one point, but I'm using something that works with that architecture, and it gives me more choice. companies that use Cassandra are thinking more in terms of, well, I don't really know where my data is going to be. The database will allow for me to work in a variety of environments, cloud, on-prem, what have you. It's just an easy choice to make. It's not locked into the architecture. How do you fight against a Microsoft? Well, when people don't want to run at Microsoft. Actually, this is the Amazon effect right now. There are so many companies, I mean, Target in the U.S., huge company, CEO got up in front of the whole company and said, we are no longer going to be an Amazon. I am sick of giving Amazon money. And they moved their whole infrastructure over to Google. What did they choose? Well, they use a lot of Cassandra. They didn't have a problem with that. So when you say, how do you fight against that? Well, these are other things that are happening in this world. People aren't locking in.
But you said earlier that the biggest problem people have when they first join is for the first 2 weeks, they struggle, can't understand how to deal with distributed. We talk a lot about distributed. It's a word thrown around a lot, mainly because of permission blockchain, distributed ledger. But it requires massive architectural thinking through. Where is the knowledge pool for people to say, okay, look, we want to be cloud native. We need to change some of the core things we've always done. We get the application layer, but we've got to do some of this core stuff like database. Where did they get the knowledge from to look at something like Cassandra to understand what distributed means so that they can even begin to think about a deployment before they risk the business?
Yes, and that touches on a very core part of my mission, which is education. We have made that a really important part of our company that is we put an investment into. We give free education to people at DataStax Academy. It's not just on the basics of how to run Cassandra, but it's how to build data models, how to implement your use case effectively, how to de-risk the whole thing. If you could imagine that there's all these riches that are available, you just have to go through a quest to get to it. We talk about that hero's journey. We see the developers as they see the promised lands over there. I can build an application that'll run across two clouds, but I need the right database. And as you said, there's a risk in that. If I just walked in and said, we're using Cassandra today, now everyone learn it, that was a really dumb idea. I tell people, don't do that. I will tell you right now, you're going to fail. But if you understand it and learn about it, we put courses up there. You can take like our data modeling course. Mm-hmm. It's a week-long course. It's not a couple of YouTube videos. We're trying to educate the world. And then on top of that, we also have our services we do to help because that's inevitable. Large companies do need help to make this happen. But I feel like education is the first step, really.
But we've tried education in databases before, SQL to object-orientated. And look how hard that was. SQL to NoSQL. You either get it or you don't get it. That's very black and white in that sense. We've got all sorts of different technologies out there around databases that are supposed to improve and change things. But that base education becomes that sticking point, particularly for developers and DBAs who are under pressure to continue to deliver software at the rate they have to at the moment. And for DBA, this isn't about change. This is about pure stability.
That's what wins. I have this little chart somewhere, and it talks about the perfect product. Mm-hmm. The perfect product is the thing that makes me look like an absolute rock star that will never fail me. But those are things that are really critical because if someone risks their career on a technology, it shouldn't fail them. Now, full disclosure, I'm an Oracle DBA. I went through all that training. I made a lot of good money off it. I have a nice house in Sonoma County. Thank you, Larry. I think it's what it's up to now is companies like DataStax who are bringing forward a technology that works well, that is legitimate. But right now, this is our job, is we're trying to make it easier. We're de-risking with technology on top of technology on top of technology. One of the things that we're releasing soon is this thing that we're calling AppStax. We'll probably change the name. But AppStax is a very basic data modeling tool. You don't need to go through a full course to understand it now. It's a click, 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 and here. We can programmatically build these things out. I think this is where the future is going with cloud. Cloud isn't just infrastructure. It's not VMs in the sky. It's the services and the ease of use. How can I take a developer who has less than 5 years of experience and make it look like they have 10 years of experience?
But that services bit is the bit that's always glued us between those core things like databases and that constantly evolving world of applications and application technologies above. Let's assume we've got over the architectural problem and the DBAs are on board. The developers now have to think about, well, where's my data model? Now, one thing we've learned over 30 odd years is that if we make it invisible, they'll use it. Nobody these days really thinks about their database connection. Nobody thinks about the network connection, be that fixed, be that mobile, be that Bluetooth. There's a whole bunch of stuff we've just absorbed into the developer tools. How do you absorb that connectivity in such a way that they no longer really need to know what the underlying architecture of the database is to write their applications? Because if you don't do that, all these developers are going to be fixated on what's going on, where, how, what do I have to do, when do I have to do it?
Where do I add my index? Things like that. These are all important questions that we've had to ask. But if you look at the genius of an entity relationship diagram, boy, that's a quote. It's something that's endured for a long time. Mm-hmm. When you're building an application and you're talking about your data model, you can do a pretty good job of describing the data that you're going to be using in an entity relationship diagram. A very basic one. Mm-hmm. Here's my entity. Here's how they're related. It has nothing to do with the underlying database. I think if we assume that that's going to be at least something that endures for a long while, that's what we're trying to do with something like AppStax, is just... when someone's building an application, mm-hmm. they know they're going to have entities, but then we can ask them questions about it. Like, how is this going to be accessed? What does this application do? Is it going to have a lot of input? It's not going to have a lot of input. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be high reads, high writes? This is almost like a whiteboard session, question and answer type thing. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, we can make good decisions behind the scenes. That's where the programmatic part of it comes in. And you're right, there's people like me who are going to be like, yeah, I want to see what's going on underneath the covers. I don't trust that you built for me. The new developers that we are talking to, that's what they need, or else they won't be successful for scale.
Scale's an interesting challenge. We're talking about cloud. We're talking about multi-cloud, which is where people are going. The struggle for a lot of database administrators at the moment is that they end up with this big amorphous blob copy here, and then another copy over here because they've got a problem with latency. If you're now building on a distributed architecture, the first question most of them are going to try and work out is, well, where does this stuff get placed? The first question that the developers are going to want to know is, what's my latency to that object? But there's a third group here who are going to equally get worried, and that's the security teams. Because if we're talking about potential copies of objects all over the place, the DBA is going to worry about what is synchronized, what isn't synchronized, but the security team are going to be running around saying, how do we secure this?
That is probably one of the biggest problems. As you get more distributed, you start opening up more vulnerabilities and your surface area increases by like exponents. And that is what we are trying to accomplish just on the basic level. But I think there's also an awareness of all the tools that you're using. I'm giving a talk on hybrid cloud here at ApacheCon. And hybrid cloud is one of those things that seems like it's a buzzword. Mm-hmm. It isn't something we're going out to do. It's something that's been done to us. Mm-hmm. I have some proof points around that. Developers are just going to have to deal with the fact that hybrid cloud is happening, and they're not doing it on purpose. It's just something that happens along the way. But you mentioned like security. What does it mean when my data is in different places? The tool set should be very plain, clear, very, this is what's happening with your data. Here's where it is. But we should provide the tools for the proper auditing. Mm-hmm. This is classic AAA, you know, authentication, authorization, auditing. I want to know where my data is, who's accessing it, with security controls, and probably with some sort of centralized security. Mm-hmm. You know, our enterprise product does that. That was actually one of the things that we added to Cassandra early on at DataStax, was the intense amount of security that are required at companies, and let's point out the most important customer, banks and governments. I would actually just say banks. Banks are far more secure than governments. When you have bank-level security where you can go through a security audit with a bank, that's not so bad. That's great. And we've done that quite a bit. And it took a long way to get there. But if you make it simple for developers by following these three simple steps, you're ensuring the people that care about this, your CISO, is not going to come and arrest you for doing something stupid with data. You hear this plenty with distributed, like open databases. Somebody will find a database or an S3 bucket with somebody's data in it. I think that's on the service providers to make sure that they're very clear and they default to secure.
But similarly with that, we've got this problem of that duplication of the data in order to deal with things. If you think in old terms about first, second, and third normal form, you can't really do a decent high-speed reporting engine if you go beyond third normal form. By the time you get to fourth or a Boyce COD, you've reduced all the duplication out of it, and suddenly you've got record locking, you've got minimal data, but actually you've got massive access problems. Hence the reason why in transactional systems we have copies of them against which people query, they don't query against the live transaction system. As you now start to push this data around and you start to break it down, go for this distributed model, I come back to the security question, where is the security education? Because I struggle to see that, and with compliance where it is, that's business threatening if this blows up.
So in which way? You mentioned consistency and distributed data, which is, of course, you're not building a two-phase commit in a global system. Let's back up a big step, which is it is mandatory for most companies now to think globally with their business, and not thinking globally with your data will be an impediment because your competitor will be. This is one of my favorite talking points is speed of light. That's the limit, sorry. And it takes 133 milliseconds for a photon to go around the Earth in a vacuum. You don't get that. You're going to get a quarter, half second to go around the world. You can't think that your central data, your one database that's sitting in a rack somewhere near London, like that was Spotify, by the way. They had one server that was doing all their updates. I bet you their security people were really happy about that. It was a data center out in Slough. There was one server to do all the updates because they couldn't manage a distributed lock, and they were worried about security because that's where all the profiles were. But they realized this is a massive problem. Someone pulls up a network cable out of Suez Canal or something, and all the Middle East is offline now. That's also bad, just as bad as a security breach. So how do you balance that?
And that's not an unrealistic worry, is it? We've seen in the last week this one-ton sensor system just gone from the seabed.
Just gone. Frayed cables. And I hope that that wasn't a really big shark or something. But
the betting is one of two things. This was either taken out by somebody's anchor, which nobody quite believes because of the weight of vessel that would have to apply to that. But more likely it was a nation state somewhere practicing its technology to be able to attack on the ocean bed. So this idea that sections of the world can go offline and come back online and completely break our consistency is not to be dismissed lightly.
No, and even if it's something not a nation state destroying things, if it's just something stupid like someone changing a BGP route in Pakistan, remember that? That took YouTube offline for a lot of people. Oops. Good old Border Gateway Protocol. I never got that right either. You're risking your business whenever you have that problem. This is why we have a data. This is why we support a data. This is one of the reasons I really got into this database, because it does allow you to do certain things in active-active formats around the world. Spotify, that was the punchline to that story. They changed out that update service to using Cassandra, and then they put it in North America, Europe, Asia. They kept it distributed. When they're trying to build their customer list and they're saying, hey, here's all these people that we want to use our system, we're not going to degrade the service for people in Asia to optimize it for Europe. But they're very clear on how their consistency works. They know where their data is, and that's a very important part of how Cassandra works. Consistency level, you're very in control of that. You're also in control of what data goes where, what replicates where. So that your CISO is going to be aware of the fact that you have data being replicated, and if you have things like GDPR, you're not going to be able to replicate personal data from Europe into, say, Asia or North America. No one does that anymore. Then we can set up rules to do that. I go back to the fact that if you are not using a top-down system that's thinking of security and distribution as a single entity, then you're probably going to be a headline someday.
So how much is solving these problems for your customers in having to do the architectural design, work out how the developers come in, bring the security teams in? How much does that play into your plan for Cassandra as a service, where clearly there's a chunk of this that you can do the heavy lift on?
The heaviest lift that we do is all of the hardest bits beneath the line. We're providing a single point with password security rules on top of that, but all the other access points are buried behind a firewall. You don't have access to any of those things. So we're reducing the surface area. And one thing great about a distributed system is if you have a 20-node cluster, you have 20 endpoints that are ready to accept a database connection at any point. We reduce that. We make it so that you have a single endpoint that you see. It does have load balancing, that sort of thing, but we're trying to reduce that. So whenever a developer says, I'm going to use this system, you're given credentials to connect to an endpoint instead of having this wide open cluster sitting there. This is where we're going away from IaaS to PaaS, Platform as a Service. IaaS, if you don't have your Amazon AWS security rules set up, it's all in one thing. Like you have this one rule set and you apply to everything you deployed. And then you realize, oops, I left something open. How do you change that? You have to redeploy all your hardware. Yeah, we have to think about that. It's the same reason that we don't want people to think so much about data model, because that's an impediment to how fast they need to go right now. If I have to have a six-month review with the CISO on my system, someone's going to lap me. I'm going to get beat. Same with if I need a six-month architectural review diagram and all that other stuff about how I'm building out this distributed system, which happens all the time, I'm probably going to get killed.
The one thing we haven't touched on yet is community. And community is fairly critical for you. After all, the phrase open source suddenly comes back into play here.
Well, we're at ApacheCon. Talk about community.
There's a whole bunch of people out there who will contribute bits, who want recognition for something. There's a requirement that you are pushing back to them what you do. Once you start to become as a service, how much of that can you push back into the community as raw code without weakening your security and your controls and your ability to deliver a quality, secure service?
I am really excited about the fact that what this means for a community, because I think it opens up a lot more doors. Because back in the days of the early Cassandra summits, it was all people building the database. That was the community of users. We were building and using at the same time. It was like the Wright brothers meet the Boeings, and you know, we were hanging out. That was great. It helped us build a really amazing database because we were talking to each other. The companies that were represented there, like the Apples and the Facebooks and the DataStaxes, you know, we were all together in the same group. We were building something. Mm-hmm. That was a community that survived and thrived and did something really amazing. And along the way, we started building out more use cases and more developer stories were coming along. The exciting thing I feel is we now have a way that where we can build a user community that's just about building cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Those are so much more interesting right now. I really don't want to hear about someone building a database from scratch anymore. I'm over that. I want to hear about the cool app that got deployed in 6 weeks and how they did it and why, you know, like a geo-replicated database across multiple clouds was the right choice for them. And how it was amazing. It made them look like rock stars and how everyone thinks they're really cool at their company now. And that's a community that I want to see building.
That neatly rounds up where we are. I hope you have great fun at ApacheCon tomorrow.
ApacheCon will be fun tomorrow.
Patrick, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ian.